Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Xiaomeng Wu, and I'm from National Institute of Informatics in Japan. So today, this talk is on our recent work. The title is Temporal Recurrence Hashing Algorithm for Mining Commercials from Multimedia Streams. So commercial mining is an important pre-processing task in the fields of broadcast media analysis and market research. It aims at detecting and localizing duplicate commercial sequences from large-scale broadcast video archive. For instance, given a one-month archive, there could be tens of thousands of duplicate commercial sequences. So manually detecting and localizing these so many commercial sequences is too time-consuming and labor-intensive. So an automatic commercial mining technique is needed. So one direction of commercial mining is known as knowledge-based commercial mining. It uses the intrinsic characteristics of commercials as a prior knowledge for detecting them. For instance, in some countries, the TV stations may add some monochrome or silence frames into the boundaries between two neighboring commercial sequences. So if we can detect the precision of these frames, then we can easily get the the location of the commercial sequences. So most knowledge-based techniques are efficient, but not generic enough because of the data-dependent prior knowledge they use. Because this prior knowledge may vary with countries and times. However, there is one prior knowledge that can be used for detecting commercials, but will not vary with countries or times. That is, commercials are repetitions. So this characteristic will never change and inspired another direction known as reputation-based commercial mining. So most reputation-based techniques are unsupervised, generic, more generic, but a large computation burden. So in this study, we proposed a simple but very effective algorithm for fully unsupervised, generic, and ultra-high-speed commercial mining. So in this study, there is no training database nor query provided beforehand. What we have is only a very, very long video stream. And the algorithm does not depend on any prior knowledge that might vary with countries or times. And also, the algorithm is very fast. For a 10-hour stream, the percent time was only 4 seconds. And for a one-month stream, the time was less than 42 minutes. And for a 5-year video stream, the process time was less than 21 hours. It's very fast. So the proposed algorithm is a two-stage hashing algorithm. And I will explain the two stages one by one. And before explaining the first stage, I'd like to discuss the difference between commercials and near-duplicate videos. As you may know, by definition, near-duplicates are pairs or sets of approximately identical videos. These videos are normally derived from an original video by means of various transformations, such as camcoding, picture-in-picture, and something like that. And on the other hand, commercials are exact duplicates derived from the original video without any transformations. So commercials can be considered as a special case of near-duplicate videos. So this is the main difference between commercials and near-duplicates. And in the case of commercials, the fragments, for example, the frames or the sharp shots of the videos can be translated into a very compact fingerprint, so that identical fragments across the duplicates can be mapped to exactly the same fingerprint. So based on this assumption, if we insert the fragments into a hash table by regarding the fingerprint as an inverted index, a hash collision will occur in the corresponding hash bucket. So the duplicate fragments can be easily detected based on a collision attack process. So these assumptions are not reasonable in the case of near duplicates, but only reasonable for exact duplicates like commercials. So in this study, we proposed applying luminance by its fingerprinting strategy to the video stream and also apply an existing audio hashing technique to the audio stream. And we didn't test all the existing techniques, but we believe that the proposed algorithm is performance invariant to the fingerprinting strategy. So any existing one can be used here. So we apply these two fingerprinting strategies to all frames of the videos. And so here the same color indicates the frames with the same fingerprint. And the continuous frames with the same fingerprint are further assembled into fragments. So as I introduced before, based on the collision, the hash collision attack process, we can easily detect duplicate fragments. But please note that the goal of commercial mining is not to detect these duplicate fragments, but to detect duplicate sequences. Because the commercial sequence is normally composed of, say, tens or a few hundreds of fragments. So here we regard the duplicate fragment pairs as the basic unit and project them to the time axis. From this figure, we can observe strong temporal consistency among these pairs. For instance, the positions of the fragments are consecutive, and the temporal interval between each two fragments are almost the same. So this kind of temporal consistency is very useful for distinguishing duplicate sequences from non-duplicated ones. And the time the commercial mining task can be formulated into searching for duplicate fragment pairs with high temporal consistency. So one solution to this is to apply pairwise matching based on temporal information to all pairs of duplicate fragments. So given NP denoting the number of these pairs, the computation cost is linear to the square of NP. And we can see NP is normally a very, very large number. And a lower computation cost can be obtained by applying pairwise matching based on temporal information to all sets of duplicate fragments. So given NO denoting the sets of these sets, actually NO is the number of the non-zero bins in the hash table. And so given NO denoting this, so the computation cost in this case is linear to the square of NO. It's still not efficient enough. And there, besides these two solutions, there is another interesting study which applies a fragment growing strategy to the duplicate fragment pairs. And the computation cost is linear to NP, which is very efficient. But because the single operation cost of the fragment growing strategy is high, so the overall processing time in this case is almost the same as the previous solutions. So in this study, we propose applying a second stage hashing to the duplicate fragment pairs, so that the computation cost can be linear to NP with a far lower single operation effort. So here we regard each duplicate fragment pair as the basic unit. And we propose two hash functions to translate the temporal information into fingerprints. So the first fingerprint is the temporal position of the former fragment. And in this case, the resolution is set to minute so that consecutive fragments can be mapped to the same or at least the neighboring fingerprints. And the second fingerprint is the temporal interval between the two fragments. And the resolution is set to second. And based on these two fingerprints, all pairs of duplicate fragment pairs are inserted into a two-dimensional hash table. And by doing so, the duplicate fragment pairs with high temporal consistency can be automatically assembled into the same bin so that the time-consuming pairwise matching can be avoided. And to detect the high temporal consistency, we build a recurrence hashing histogram from the hash table. And because the duplicate fragment pairs with high temporal consistency have been assembled into the same bin, so this bin normally form a local maximum in this histogram. And in this case, the bin value indicates the temporal duration of duplicate sequences. So duplicate sequences can be easily detected by searching for local maximums from the hashing histogram. So this all for the explanation of the proposed algorithm, and it's very simple, but because we didn't use pairwise matching, we only scan each duplicate fragment pair and insert them into the hash table. So the computation cost is linear to NP, which is much lower than that of related studies. And we evaluated the accuracy of the proposed algorithm by using a 10-hour video stream. And also a one-month stream and a five-year stream were used for evaluating the efficiency. And the accuracy was evaluated in both sequence and frame level. The sequence level indicates how precisely the algorithm can detect and identify the commercial sequences. And the frame level indicates how precisely the algorithm can localize the commercial sequences. For example, from which frame the sequence starts or to which frame the sequence ends. So the results are summarized into this table. We implemented two state-of-the-art studies for comparison. The first one proposed by Doring applied pairwise matching to the duplicate fragment pairs. And the second one proposed by Barini applied pairwise matching to all sets of duplicate fragments, or we can say all the non-zero hash buckets of the hash table. And in this table, TRHA here indicates our temporal recurrence hashing algorithm. And V here indicates the video domain. And for the statistics, PRF, respectively precision, recall, and F1 score. The suffix S and the suffix S means the frame, the sequence level, and F for the frame level. Finally, the T here indicates the processing time. So from this table, we can see that our algorithm outperformed the baselines for almost all criteria, and especially the much shorter processing time demonstrated the higher level of efficiency of the proposed algorithm. And besides, we also implemented an existing audio hashing technique for comparison. And again, in this case, the proposed algorithm outperformed the baseline for all criteria. I forgot to introduce that this baseline applied the fragment growing strategy to the duplicate fragment pairs. And please note that up to this point, we individually applied our algorithm to the video and audio streams. So one question here is, what will happen if we integrate these two streams? So the video and audio streams can be integrated at frame level, fingerprint level, or decision level. And for efficiency and scalability reasons, we propose integration at the decision level. So from these tables, we can observe that the sequence level recalls are almost 100% in both cases. So this inspired us to use an intersection operation to combine the detected commercial sequences. And this will lower the rate of false alarms without increasing the number of misses. And another observation is that in the case of frame level evaluation, the precision is usually higher than the recall in both video and audio cases. And so this inspired us to use a union operation to combine the detected commercial frames. And the results are summarized in this table, and we can see that the sequence level F1 score has been improved to 98.1%, and the frame level F1 score been improved to 97.4%. So the experiment results demonstrated the effectiveness of the proposed integration strategy. So further, we applied the algorithm to the one-month video stream, and the processing time was less than 50 minutes for video and less than 42 minutes for audio. So this again demonstrated the high level of efficiency of our algorithm. So finally, we applied our algorithm to a five-year video stream. This stream was divided into 60 one-month substreams, and our algorithm was individually applied to each substring. And we performed parallel computing and conducted four threads with 15 months per thread. And the final process time was less than 21 hours. So if we let a person to do this, even we don't consider the commercial mining or commercial detection task, we just watch the video, it will take us at least 5 years. 5 years for us to view all the video. So what I want to say here is that our algorithm is very, very fast. So we also conducted some statistics for each detected commercial. So we hope these statistics could be helpful for market researchers and commercial producers and companies. So this example is a beer commercial. For this histogram, the horizontal axis indicates the time of day, and the vertical one indicates the broadcast frequency. So from this figure, we can see that for this commercial, there was no broadcast from 2 a.m. to 11 a.m. And actually, this figure is somehow difficult to understand, so I'll show you another one. In this case, the horizontal axis also indicates the time of day, but the vertical one indicates the day or week from Sunday, Monday to Saturday. So we can observe a well-regulated shape from this figure. Actually, when we first found this, we thought this might be due to a bug, but actually it's not. This well-regulated shape was also found from all other alcohol-related commercials. And we Googled this, finally we found the reason. Actually, this is because in Japan, there is a voluntary restriction which prohibits the broadcast of alcohol commercials from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. on weekdays, and from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. at weekends. So this is one example. And another example is a pizza chain commercial. And we can see that this commercial was most frequently broadcast around 5 p.m. Actually, So we believe this is because 5 p.m. is a time for the wives to decide what to cook for dinner, and the commercials tell them, no, you don't need to cook, just buy our pizza, or something like that. And the third example is a car commercial, and we can observe three time zones with highest broadcast frequency. For instance, from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. when most fathers are having breakfast, and around 12 o'clock, which is the lunch time, and after 6 p.m. When most fathers have finished their work and watching TV. So actually, these observations can also be observed in this figure. And one explanation of this could be the car is targeted towards male rather than female drivers. And another explanation could be, in most Japanese families, the fathers rather than the wives are managing the money. So the car dealer prefer most popular TV slots for male rather than female audiences. So because of the time limitation, I'm going to skip the conclusion slide. And that's all. Thank you for your kind attention.
I have a question. In Japan, is there any the advertising company is going to use your technique to do some of the marketing research?
Currently, no. But we are considering to contact those companies and see whether they are interested in our research. And normally, I don't think companies are interested in this, but actually, there were some commercial producers who felt interest in this work and contact us. We are considering about the cooperation or the collaboration to maybe we can provide some services for social analysis or something like that, or okay, market research. Yeah.
Thank you. The second point is that I understand you are doing the commercial video pattern discovery, right? So are you going to extend your work to discover some other types of the videos? something like the sports video or some news video. Yeah, I understand the commercial video is a very special types of videos with a specialized patterns.
You mean for detecting yes. duplicate videos
yeah.
of other
types of videos?
Well, it depends on the type of the duplicate videos that you want to detect. For instance, in the case of sports video, there are some rebroadcasts of the same sports video across a lot of channels. That means in this case, the videos are almost the same. But in the news broadcast, the TV, the news program producer may add some logo or text captions into the video so that the fingerprinting based strategy is not suitable in this case, and more robust technique is needed. So that's why I pointed out that this work is quite difficult, is quite different from near duplicate detection. It's a kind of exact duplicate detection.
Okay, right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I'd like